My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
59-45 at the half for the United States and Serbia. I'm gonna DM my father-in-law.
Sorry, bro.
I'm a D because he talks cash money to me.
Really? You guys are betting on Serbia games?
Well, no, he would talk cash money to me like when Joker would like when they were winning the finals, because like, I was over there. Remember?
I was over there. That. Yeah, wow, the whole thing.
And you know, he was definitely feeling himself. And look,
is he a national hero? I'm sure he is, right?
Yeah,
he's it.
Oh, he's their guy.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm gonna DM him right now.
Yep.
What time is he? Should be awake. I'm gonna say Serbia getting that ass taxed like the Tea Party.
That's fantastic. Look at you talking smack to your father-in-law. This is the Serbian hammer, right?
That's him.
My guy, it scares me a little bit.
He got to take this one.
Yeah, he got to take that L.
I would expect the same from him, you know. But he knows I don't play about my American hoops. Come on now, he knows that. I'll let you know what he says.
I'm interested in the reply.
It'd be funny if we could come on the show. That'd be pretty.
What's wrong with Bogdanovich?
I think they're just being cautious. With
I see.
Yeah, he missed the last game, too. So I think they're just saying, hey, the Olympics start in 11 days. Like,
we need our dudes.
They only have him and Joker, realistically.
I mean, Joker's got 10, it looks like, at the half, almost a double-double.
Right, they're just keying in on him.
That's it.
I mean, he has no wing help, you know, with no Bogdanovich. So he has Anthony Davis was doing it big against Joker in this matchup. Hey! You know, in a playoff series, maybe not so much.
Right.
But in a one-off in the Olympic world where you have the absolute best players on the planet with you, yes.
Do you think Denver will get back to doing what they? I mean, I know they don't have KCP anymore. Wasn't it? Didn't they lose a few pieces this year?
Yeah, I think they will probably not get back, actually.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good. And I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's a good lesson of how quickly it can change
the window.
You know, yeah. I like to tell people this. You don't get to the top and stay there forever.
Right.
Right. You don't get to, and not that the Grizzlies have ever been to the top, but you know, they've been, you know, a top two seed. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's really more so what I'm talking about. Is that, you know, again, if you're a fan in Denver when they won the title last year, you said, well, why can't they do this?
This is going to happen again. They were talking about like that,
right,
too.
We have Joker. We have Jamal Murray. We have, and you didn't even get to the West Conference Finals.
Meanwhile, Oklahoma City's stockpiling and Dallas has figured out how to play with each other.
Yeah. I mean, you were killing Minnesota in game 7 and they came all the way back, you know. And so I think that's a humbling, right?
Yeah.
It's a humbling for any fan that thinks that just because it happens once that it's supposed to or preordained to happen again and again and again. It's not.
Well, I have a theory about the NBA. You are one injury away from losing the championship or winning the championship at all times.
Yeah, it's different than football, for an example, right? Like,
unless it's the quarterback, I guess.
You can lose your quarterback, and that's definitely obvious. You know, like, that's the one position, right? But honestly, in basketball, it could be any position.
Yeah,
it could be
that's
any.
Facts.
It could be any position, and it changes the dynamics of your team. Like if the Grizzlies lost Desmond Bane for the year, if they lost, Jaren for the year, or Zach, like it just changes. It doesn't have to be Ja
absolutely
to be detrimental to your team, right? You know, in football, if a receiver goes down, they got a depth chart.
Yeah,
they got guys that are NFL caliber receivers that will maybe not be as good, but if they have a good quarterback delivering the ball, mm-hmm. they'll find ways to make impacts, right? Whereas in basketball, it's so you have five guys, you have five players on the court who have to play both ends of the court. And so it's just much more intimate in that way, and it's much more important in that way. And so, yeah, like you look around the NBA last year. I mean, that was really the whole thing for Boston. Yes, they were as dominant as anybody has ever been in the playoffs, but like every single series, I guess, save for Dallas, they had injury.
So I'm looking at the power ranker. They have Denver. So they have Denver so Phoenix is at 12, Magic at 11. Damn, they got Magic way up there.
Yeah.
They have Denver at 7.
They should have Magic up there. I mean, that's the sharp play. I mean, the Magic are going to be people are not going to recognize
that. Yeah, you just don't think about them that way. But
you will.
Yeah, Indiana, they've got at 9.
I think that's too high.
Notable additions. James Wiseman, like, that's not going to help you. I don't understand that 9th for the Indiana Pacers.
The Pacers beat a Bucks team that...
And they have the Bucks ahead of the Pacers this year at 8.
The Pacers beat a Bucks team that had no Giannis.
Yeah.
And then they beat a Knicks team that was overachieving, in my opinion. It had no Julius Randle. And then Brunson breaks his hand in the last game.
Yeah, they got injured.
And then, of course, they got wiped. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, look, they were competitive against the Celtics.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in them. I'm very I'm an atheist when it comes to Halliburton. Don't believe whatsoever.
I know you hate Halliburton.
Can't stand him, dude. I can't stand his game. I don't know what he does. He has that funky looking ass jump shot.
It's weird.
And then he can pass the ball. Great.
Right.
But Ja clears Halliburton.
Yeah.
Ja clears Halliburton 10 times out of 10. But people don't want to admit that.
We just forgot about it.
People don't want to admit that. And you're right. Like, yeah, we have the attention span of a squirrel, but
yep.
I just feel like Halliburton gets way too much love for being like he's a decent player.
Yep.
He's a decent player who can't guard, who has a very, very odd jumper, and can make plays.
Sure.
But I don't think he's like, would I take him over De'Aaron Fox? I wouldn't take him over De'Aaron Fox.
He's a streak shooter, though. Like that All-Star game last year, he just started hitting and hitting. Of course, everybody hits All-Star, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. Like, he is a streak shooter.
Yeah, I mean, he'll make some shots in the All-Star game and make some plays in the All-Star game, but I'm not a Halliburton guy at all. I'm just not. Okay. I mean, you're going to have to accept that, Brad.
I'm just fine with it.
It's never going to change.
No, I'm not taking the other side on this. I just think I do hope when we get Ja back and this team launches this year that the availability doesn't become the thing we're talking about again. And I'm not just talking about Ja, I'm talking about the whole team.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it feels like for 2 to 3 years, I know it was just a year ago, you know, we had that, well, we're second place in the West. It's like we forget.
Yes.
And then it's like we're talking about availability for 12 months.
Yeah,
and it's exhausting. You know?
That's what it's all about for the Memphis Grizzlies. There is no doubt about that. But at any rate, USA is up on Serbia big, almost covering the full game number at the half. So
you're good. That's the way you're riding. I take it.
I didn't do anything with it because I didn't know if Joker was going to play.
Right.
I felt like they might hold him out, so I was like, I'm just gonna
stay out
because it doesn't matter, right? Like it's not a meaningful game. I'll get back into FIBA. You know when the Olympics start for sure. I do enjoy it, man. Like the idea that USA and Serbia play basketball at 11 a.m. on a Sunday.
It's crazy.
That's awesome. Like I remember watching the World Cup last year. And the games would be at like 8.
So is that a week from Sunday, the Olympic opener in Paris?
I think it's, that sounds correct.
Wow.
That sounds correct.
That'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, so to the 21st?
Yep.
Exactly. Today's
the 17th.
Yeah, so it'd be a week from Sunday is when that would be the United States.
This Sunday, the 21st.
Yeah, and then the 28th, and the 28th would be the first game. So a week from Sunday. So it's coming.
It's here.
And then we'll have you know, the Olympic ceremony and all that. So.
This will actually be not a slow end with the Olympics. I was thinking of the summer going into football here, and it's like,
no,
the Olympics
I think
will make
is,
it fun.
I think this is, you know, maybe next week is like the last hard week because summer league will be over.
Yep.
And there will be no real Olympic stuff. But then after that, we're going to be getting into training camp.
Yep.
And then it's the Olympics.
And you're on football.
Patrick Mahomes said he's bringing his TV for the first time to training camp because he wants to play college football and he wants to watch the Olympics.
Damn.
That's what he wants to do. So he brought the TV.
okay. I'm used to Patrick Mahomes talking about how hard he's working.
I didn't realize training camp was that damn long. I guess training camp's a month.
It leads up to the Hall of Fame game, and then you're in the preseason by week two of August.
Yeah.
It's the week of the 12th.
It's about 2 weeks. That's about 2 weeks, yeah. So, okay, I get it. So they don't have room. They don't have TVs in their room. That kind of seems kind of crazy to me.
Low budge.
That's like, I don't know if it's that. It's like maybe it's just like intensive. It's like
they don't want you focused on anything but football.
They want you in your playbook.
We have to be the playbook. Yeah,
you know they want you. But it's like if you're Mahomes, like how about Will Levis can't bring a TV to the Titans camp?
I will say some of these guys had a photographic memory, even the quarterbacks. Like I was watching,
the best ones do.
They really do. I watched that that Giants offseason, the Hard Knocks. Yeah. I haven't gotten into week three. I watched week two. This is when they were interviewing the quarterbacks. They were even interviewing Caleb Mills in there. And it is, like everybody, you think of Caleb Mills and you may stereotype him as the fingernail guy. But like, he was damn impressive for a guy who's already a millionaire, like reeling off. They're like, okay, you know, here's you know, X1 on the out
Caleb
route.
Williams, Caleb
yeah,
Williams.
Caleb, I'm sorry, Caleb Williams. Yeah. I got my Caleb's wrong.
We wished Caleb Mills was back.
Sorry about that.
We have to move
I got
on.
My Caleb's mixed up.
No
worries. I was wishing he wasn't injured. maybe he'll be better as a quarterback for the Chicago Bears. But when he was talking about the plays, I'm like, oh, he's a pretty sharp guy. Maybe the Bears got something here. All these, what I was trying to get to is the quarterbacks look like they have a photographic memory when they're reeling off these plays. So maybe Patrick Mahomes has time for TV.
I think he definitely does. No question about it. Anyway, every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. Do we have some Summer League action a little bit later today? I've been pretty much watching every game of the Summer League so that you don't have to. I guess now might be a good time to tell you, just give you the Patty stock report.
Okay.
Patty stock report, who I come away from Summer League feeling good about, who I come away from Summer League feeling bad about, right?
All right, I want to see the assessment.
So prospects that I have come away feeling good about, Reed Shepard.
Yep.
Stephon Castle. Zach Edey, although I don't know if he counts. Are we counting
him? Yeah, he counts. Of course he counts. Okay. Anybody that's in there, even if they play one game, he counts.
Bub Carrington.
Bub Carrington.
Bub Carrington.
All right, there's a ding.
Bub Carrington.
Tell me about Bub.
Bub was the 14th overall pick of the Washington Wizards.
All right. Basically had like 20 picks.
They're actually, in fact, telling people he was the second pick of the draft, and Sar was 14.
Yeah, I didn't know. Tell me about Bub.
Bub's a dog.
They're making you forget about Sar.
Yes, but thank God, because, you know, had Bub not hit, and I think Bub's a hit.
Bub's only 18.
Yeah, Bub's a beast.
Wow.
Bub is an absolute beast. And so I think that's probably
out of Pittsburgh, a little guard.
Yes.
6'6".
I would say Klingon. I'm going to say Klingon. I'm going to say yes on Klingon.
Okay.
I'm going to say stock up on Klingon. I think he's shown enough.
Like,
I think he's shown enough. He hit a three yesterday.
Okay.
And you could just see this, the potential there, right? Mm. And just the defensive presence. Jared McCain for the 76ers is going to be a hit.
McCain?
He's been fantastic. And he's just unfazed. I think that's really it, Brad. I think that's
about Bronny James.
Yeah, well, he's going to be on the other side of this, which is
loser.
With the stock
down. Way down.
He definitely, and I'm doing rookies. I'm not doing like second year guys that have played right. Like I don't need to tell you that Brandon Miller and Brandon Podzimski and Trace Jackson Davis's stock are up. Okay, at this point, it should be pretty
obvious.
This
is the draftees.
Definitely Bronny stock down. Yep. Agree totally with Jaylen Brown on this one. He's not a pro. He is a pro because he's LeBron's son. He is not a pro because of what he's done and what he's been able to do. So I'm absolutely going to have him as a stock down. I don't know if there are a ton of guys that I feel Alex Sarr stock down. I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen really enough from him at all to think he's ever going to be a good basketball player in this league. I don't think there have been any other rookies, Brad, that I've just looked at and said, no chance.
Yep.
I'll add another one to the stock up, Tristan Da Silva, who I liked for the Grizzlies.
Okay.
He's been really good for Orlando, and that doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Have you thought of the other Grizzlies rookies, Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer?
Cam's been very good in his role, which is shoot the ball, score the ball. And Jalen has, Jalen, he had a
20-plus point game.
He had a game winner.
In Utah.
He had a game winner.
I think it was that third game or something like that, or second game.
I just don't know what his path is. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a super big guy. More research is needed.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. I'm not up or down on him. I'm not down on him. He was a second round pick. I'm not. Yeah. But would I say I'm up on him? Would I say, like, oh, watch out for Jalen Wells? No, I would not say that.
The interesting thing watching Cam Spencer, I didn't watch enough UConn, clearly, but even though they were the national champions.
Well, because you're not watching college basketball, and you need to change that.
You gave a dissertation on this.
That's right.
People are not watching college basketball like they once did because it's been watered down, and we're assuming so many things. There's only 6,000 people going to Memphis games, for God's sakes, okay? Where I'm going with this is, like, I didn't realize Cam Spencer's a damn ball, like an actual basketball player. Like, I thought he was like a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
I had this stereotype that he was sort of this white wing, from UConn, and they drafted him thinking he's going to be a shooter. But, like, that's only like a part of his game. I know he's 6'3", but, like, he's weaving in and out. He, like, looks very comfortable with the basketball. Like, I know this is not a joke, but, like, he looks like a real basketball player.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looks very comfortable. Like, he looks like somebody. He's not Scottie Pippen Jr. because he's not small. He's not a point handler who has to have the ball all the time. But, like, he looks like a wing option.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's so small. That's the problem.
He's very small.
And I think that's going to be the part he's got to prove, probably, in South Haven.
Right.
That is a question that has to be answered. But
if he can move like he is in guard, he could go.
I mean, yeah, you know, again, I don't know how many small guys are out there in the league that don't have to dribble, that don't have any, like, real off-the-bounce moves. I don't know. It's a pretty short list. So I think that's stacked against him.
Yeah.
You know, he just you kind of have to be realistic. Is he going to be the first? You know, there have been a lot of shooting types that have come through. There's a ton of, like,
a lot of them on the Grizzlies roster.
Like, the guy that plays for the who is the Hawks, Dylan Windler. He's bigger than Cam Spencer, but, like, what does he do? He's a shooter.
Yeah.
And he can't crack an NBA roster, right?
Yep.
So I think, you know, you do ultimately have to do more things than be able to shoot the ball.
And Windler's a little taller, even.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's
6'6".
You know, he's
from
much
Belmont.
Bigger.
Yeah, he's 27 years
old.
And
he shoots the pill off of it. And I'm watching him. I'm like, man, he must have cylinder blocks for feet because he cannot make a roster. So that ultimately has to be a consideration. Is, you know, the odds are definitely stacked against Cam Spencer being a contributor for the Grizzlies on the active roster, but he is a winner, and
yes, he is.
I think that there are some things that are a little hard to quantify, and things that are maybe a little less tangible. That, you know, it could just be this dude's story. It could just be his story that he's the Rudy of the Grizzlies, man.
Right.
You know, like, he ain't supposed to be here. He ain't big. He ain't fast. Right. He ain't long, but he makes big shots. I mean, you know.
It's fair. Well, people did say, I mean, no, it's different. Bane is 6'6", though. He's got enough.
You know, is Bane 6'6"?
He's listed in some places as 6'6".
Oh, my gosh.
Desmond Bane, he is not that.
I did not think he was that big. I thought he was 6'3".
They've got him at 6'5" when you just do a Google search, but there are some sites that list him at 6'6". It's like David Jones, where they're giving him 3 inches.
Right. I think we got.
And I think they are giving Desmond Bane 3 inches.
Yeah, I think we got the David Jones thing going on with Bane. It doesn't matter. I mean,
the lowest I see of Bane listing is 6'5".
But the thing about Bane that's different than Cam is that he is much thicker.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Bane is put together sturdily.
No, he's a brick ass house,
and Cam is definitely not.
No,
Cam looks like a guy who, like, you would see playing at you know, what is it called now? It's not LA Fitness now. What is it?
It's called. I know where you're talking about. Over here on Winchester.
What is that thing called? What are they? They rebranded it. What is it called?
Club Fitness?
No, it's not Club Fitness. It's something
fitness
else.
On
there is
Winchester.
A Club Fitness though.
I gotta look at it. Is it Esporta?
Esporta. That's what it is.
Friggin' Esporta.
Esporta. You would see Cam at Esporta lighting it up. You know what I mean?
That's funny,
But he what I do love about him is that he's crazy, which I like.
He is.
And because I think you have to be crazy, right? There has to be some level of craziness to you when you're not that big and you're not that strong and you're not that fast and you choose to play basketball. Like, there has to be a level of delusion about you, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
To pursue this. And
no, he was a transfer player, too, because he started at, like, a low level.
He was at Loyola, and then he went to Rutgers, and then he went to UConn. So I love that. I love that he worked his way up, right? He worked his way up and got there. And, again, he's listed at 6'4". I don't
maybe.
See.
Maybe.
I think it's 6'2", but that's fine. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's a situation where if you can make shots, you can find a way to play NBA basketball. So,
facts. So you'll put him as a possible positive.
Cam is a positive.
Okay.
It's Jalen Wells, who I'm like, I need more research.
I gotcha.
I need more research, you know, to before I weigh in.
Okay.
But I think the Grizzlies, and of course they play later today. By the way, this is what Jason March said.
Okay.
In terms of the lineup today, they'll be tired, so we'll try to have an easy day. I guess this was Monday.
Okay, right after the game they played against.
Yeah, they'll be tired, so we'll try to have an easy day tomorrow and get minutes for some guys who haven't played
that
much.
That means none of these dudes are playing.
Adversity is coming, and it's not going to be easy. How we respond to it will be crucial, and I believe this group will respond the right way. So I think the adversity is, ain't none of the good players playing no more.
They're all nicked up now with ankle injuries.
Right, so I think that's why, you know, and Anthony Black, quote-unquote, sprained his right ankle. So he will not be playing for the Magic tonight, but it's a lie. These teams just lie because he finished the game. He got the last rebound of the game. It literally says Anthony Black, defensive rebound, game in. Bro, these teams lie. They just, like, make it up. They're like, oh, sprained ankle, you're out. You know, which is fine. Why can't we just say Anthony Black is done for the summer?
Right.
You know, why we got to lie? Oh, you got to lie, Craig. You know? Dude did not sprain his ankle. He finished the game.
This is ridiculous.
Because I have people hitting me up, like, you know, some groups that I do work with, and they're like, how did nobody see Anthony Black sprain his ankle? Because he didn't.
He didn't do it.
He didn't.
Yeah,
he never left the game. He never, you know, they're just making it up.
So, like, if you had, like, if you look at without a lot of these guys, we're down to about 8 to 10. So you're looking at guys like Drew Pember at center, or Don Giroux, Dejan Giroux, Trey Jemison. Gigi's not going to play. You got who else out there?
It's going to be
DJ Jeffries.
It's going to be Dejan Giroux. It's going to be DJ Jeffries. It's going to be Miller. It's going to be.
They're not playing anybody.
It's going to be the dude that Jason said was. Playing at Mount Moriah in blue jeans shorts.
Right.
What was his name?
The precinct.
I gotta find his name, man.
There was a guy playing out there.
Like, no, but it was the Joe. He looks like it. You know, that's
they got him from the precinct for the summer league.
Hold on, I'm gonna find his name.
They have a food truck out there now, by the way. That's delicious.
Oh, no joke.
Yeah, if you ever played,
I think it's Harris.
Yeah,
the guy.
Harris.
So, this person named Williamson,
Lucas Williamson of Loyola.
Yeah, he'll probably play.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's I don't expect to see any Gigi. I don't expect to see any Scottie Pippen.
None of the drafted players.
LaRavia or Spencer. I think it'll be maybe Jemison will play, but I just don't see.
Is the line still the line still the same though? I'd bet Magic all day no matter what the line is.
It's 3.5, I believe, right now. I would definitely I would not play Edie. I mean, there is just no world where I would even consider that right now.
Like, what's the point?
Exactly. I mean, there is none. It's simply just, you know, he'll get his rep somewhere else.
Right.
The line's 3.5, so it was 4.5. Now it's 3.5. So
-3.5, Magic
for the Grizzlies. It's minus. The Grizz are favored.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're just kind of.
I like the Magic.
I think they're pricing in Black's not going to play for the Orlando Magic. I think they're pricing in maybe an appearance from Edie. Because again, the company line has been he's not shut down. He's not shut down. So
which is a lie.
I don't know.
I'm joking.
I don't know that it's a lie.
I'm kidding.
It doesn't have to be a lie, but it might not be the case anymore.
Right.
You know, like they could have easily changed their minds on it, which I would encourage them to do.
After two or three guys get nicked up in a game,
there is no world where you need to put Edie out there with Lucas Williamson.
Right.
Okay. I mean, and you just there's just no world. So anyway, Grizz are in action a little bit later. I think it's 4:30.
Okay.
And look, I'm high on the Magic. I'm high on the Magic. So if you want to see some future, you know, good players for Orlando Magic, like Tristan Da Silva, you can at least tune in for that.
Next story.
Oh man, this one. I will say, like, this one kind of keeps me up at night sometimes. the city of Memphis lost $773,000 due to a phishing scam.
This is a this is happening all over the place now.
All over the place. This particular transaction of nearly $1 million happened on February 19th, 2022. And this is according to Sam Hardiman over at the Daily Memphian. This was not acknowledged at the time or at any time during Mayor Jim Strickland's administration. It happened when someone impersonated Zellner Construction, which is a local construction company.
Is it the one we're familiar with?
I don't think so. Okay. I think you're thinking about our man Michael.
Yeah, Michael, who had the.
I mean, could there be a relation somewhere? Okay. I think maybe. I don't know.
Right,
but it's not Michael himself.
I see.
But it occurred when someone impersonated Zellner Construction on an existing city contract where invoices were regularly paid. City said a city employee paid a company they believed to be Zellner. Instead, the payment went to the alleged scammer.
Oh.
When the city discovered the error, the money could not be recovered. During this time, in early 2022, the city was operating under COVID-19 protocols that had relaxed controls on such wire transactions. After the incident, city mandated training for our staff in the finance department and put back controls that had existed before the COVID-19 pandemic. So the money has not been returned. I don't know that they have. It seems like, I mean, this was, you know, 2.5 years ago. It seems like they have not determined who the scammer was, clearly.
Damn.
And the city of Memphis taxpayers are out $773,000. And obviously, from a city perspective, it's just depressing. It's just depressing that something of this sum was sent to the wrong person, right? That they could not determine that this was a scam, that they did not do their due diligence. I mean, this was not March 2020. This was February 2022 now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about $1 million. That's a lot of money. That's
it
a lot
is.
Of money.
We watch, not to get too inside baseball, I know a lot of people work for corporations that are listening. We're required as managers, I think you are too, John, these phishing emails that we have to do research, and like the company mandates these protocol videos on how to spot, you know, spam bots, you know, phishing emails, because they're so rampant now. And I guess it's the amount of money is what we're kind of concerned with here, right?
It's not a
$2,000 bill.
It's not a trivial amount.
No, it's not a water bill at the maintenance warehouse.
Like, don't you have to, like, clear this with, like, a supervisor or something? Like, hey,
seems
I'm about
like
to send out $1 million. Like, shouldn't we, like, know that, hey, call, hey, is this the right address? Like, how do you just sort of press send so willy-nilly here? I will say...
I still write checks for stuff. Maybe it's not for this reason, but I do write checks for stuff.
I don't have a checkbook, so
you don't have
we're
a
different in that way. Yeah. But I will say, like, as someone who has, you know, older parents, I worry about them every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to things like this, because, look, I'm 33. I have all my wits about me. I know sort of, you know, I was a child of the technology era. You know,
yeah.
I was born before it got really, like, in full swing,
right.
And I was sort of coming of age as it was coming of age. So I've seen every scam, scheme, whatever that the internet has to offer. And the reality is that, you know, if you're listening and you have older parents, they have not. And they tend to believe, right? I mean, how many times have you heard stories?
You see it every day.
Like, they get the email from XYZ.
Janet Smith lost all of her retirement account because somebody in a foreign country sent an email about her livelihood and her her house.
Yeah, and like the reality is like some of these elderly people are lonely, and they have nobody that they talk to. And so they're like, this is a companion. This is somebody like they're preying on the elderly. That's what happens. Like, I got this. I'm on a lot of different apps. Like,
yeah.
I'm on WhatsApp. I'm on Telegram.
Okay.
I'm on Signal. And so I have a lot of people occasionally that will, like, find my contact. Like, I had this person Sunday reach out on WhatsApp.
Okay.
And say hello. And
I get those all the time on Facebook.
And I was bored, so I entertained it. Oh. Right? So I just wanted to see where this is going, right?
Okay.
It's a phone number that's from South Africa. okay? And hello, I'm Ruby from Remote Jobs. We have an opening for you that might be a perfect fit. Can I share the details? I said, yes, I love jobs. And she told me, Ruby told me that it's remote and home-based. It's part-time or full-time, $150 to $600 U.S. dollars per day. I said, yes.
Okay.
She says, this recruitment is limited to Social Security number holders in the United States.
Of course.
Do you have a Social Security number? I said, yes, I have a Social Security number.
Yeah.
Would you like it?
You have one.
She says, can you tell us your age? I said, private information. When do I start? And she said,
oh, you really sparred.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going back. I wanted to know, like, where is this going?
You know what I mean?
And then she said, the employer will reach out to you in 20, which she did. This other number reached out to me. It looks like a United States number. It's a phone number.
You went down on the well here.
From Canada. Okay. And she's telling me all this stuff. And then she wants to get me on a training call. So, again, elaborate.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
Deep
in, yeah. If you're an elderly person that's retired and someone is promising you easy money in the form of $156, it's really...
You entertain it.
They're going to call you. They're going to talk to you.
Yeah.
They're going to... Like, it's convincing.
Wow.
And so, like, you... Like, I see... I don't know what the intricacies of this was. I don't know how the hell this happened. Like, you could just authorize $1 million payment out the window. But I do know that it's a lot easier to part ways with, you know... $500 or $1,500, you know, it happens all the time. Like fake Zelle, you know, like you see Zelle scams all the time. You'll get like these emails that look like a payment was sent.
Yeah.
And then they ask you to send it back and then they just get off with your money somehow. Like,
well, the ransomware is the one I'm more familiar with because that's somebody invading your company's database through a company email, right? One thing I have noticed, and I made one of my New Year's resolutions that I've actually kept because most people don't keep any New Year's resolutions, including myself, is I finally started using on Gmail and on Odyssey the block and the fish and the junk. And constantly, like my mission in life for the first quarter of the year was block, junk, spam, fish. Like I'm just throwing everything in that junker.
Yep.
And you know what I've learned? I only have to answer or look at 4 or 5 real emails a day now because I started doing that for 3 months. And I did it religiously, John. Like, it was like, if this is junk, it's going junk. If I don't read it or I looked at it or I even got somewhere in a database, junk, spam, whatever. And now, 6 months later, like, my life, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating this. It's probably saved me an hour a day doing that of not screwing around with emails that are... You know, they're like half-assed, bogus emails. Some of them are like companies you probably got in their database because it's the National Association of Broadcasters or whatever. My point is, I think you have to do that. Like, I would recommend folks do that. You will change your life if you blow out that stuff.
Well, and also just not, you know, respond to fishers.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's
a lot of people do, and a lot of them are you don't, you know.
Well, you got to kind of know, and it's hard. It's hard to tell, like sometimes I want to tell my dad, for example, like, yo, man, like, if somebody ever contacts you, ever,
yeah,
don't respond.
Right.
Ain't nobody checking for you.
Nobody's checking for you. And the answer is no.
Like, I promise you.
Yeah.
Like, I know that hurts to hear, but ain't nobody checking for you. All they want
right.
is your money.
It's
like,
right.
You know, it ain't like, you know, and again, some of them pose as women, too,
yeah.
right? Like, they pose as women. They want to, like, show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're
a little affection there,
100%. And then they're like, "Just send me $100, which is a lot of money, right? To these people, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is what they do all day long.
Of course,
if they are successful on 2% of their, you know what
yep.
I mean? And like, it's a great day for them. And so I saw this, and that's just what like, it's probably, here's the truth. It's probably going to get even more elaborate over the years.
Oh, it'll get more sophisticated
future,
with
yeah.
AI, especially.
Oh, that scares me.
Because you'll have likenesses.
Like if they were actually smart, you know what they would do is they would like anybody that's in the public.
The voices in the
an easy target. Because they could take a clip of my voice.
Oh my God.
Put it into an AI thing, generate some sentences with my voice, right? And call my family and say that I'm in danger and I need you to send me $4,000.
The internet is an awful thing. In 2016, I was miscast as the Wolf Chase racist because it was somebody who had a Ford Taurus in a parking lot. And somebody goes, that's Brad Carson.
Well, it's a,
and
it's
they
a,
tagged
it's a,
me.
It's a fair conclusion.
They tagged me, John. They tagged me. And I got, somehow I had to disengage my Facebook where they could call you through Facebook. People like give me death threats. I'm like, you got the wrong number. This is the wrong dude. Like, Intercom PR had to step in,
right?
And, like, get involved, and like, because people believe stuff, man. It's
yes,
not true if it's just on the internet, folks.
Yes,
like, but I know my parents; they read stuff and they think everything is almost true because it's in print or something. But now they're older, but they still have a damn landline. Like,
right,
they're just old.
I also think like I think that whole thing was staged. For
the Wolf Chase racist, where there's like a, because he what did he do? And he was in the car, and the
he was like the guy was in his window.
Yeah, and that video went way viral.
Oh yeah,
this is in 2016.
But like that guy was never like you know, doxxed or whatever.
No, they didn't. I don't think we ever learned much more about that. It just sort of went away. There actually was a story written about me, like, because they're like, this was not Brad Carson.
Yeah.
In the car.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's possible that it's real, but why would you want to have your name out there? Not your name, but your face.
Face.
He was saying the N-word, I believe.
Oh yeah.
A ton.
No, it was crazy.
And so maybe it wasn't staged, but if that had happened in 2024, we would have known who the dude was in 5 minutes.
Yep.
Like, he would have gotten doxxed.
And you didn't know everything about him and his job. And
maybe we did. I just don't remember. I mean, it was 8 years ago. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he does kind of bear some, you know, you do favor him a little bit. I mean, that's why.
Because he's, you know, he's just white.
Well, not all white people.
And he's driving a Taurus.
Again, I think that, once again, is.
He had a Cowboys shirt on. And you know what happened? I had taken a selfie the same day. My son Jake and a friend, we were at the Grizzlies game at the exact same time. Exact same time. And I think it was on the internet at the exact same time, too. And I was like, hey, this is another reason not to do this as soon as you're at an event. Do it later. So we're at the event, and I took a picture at the Grizzlies game of Jake and his buddy and me, and I'm in a Cowboys jersey. This jackass at Wolf Chase also had Cowboys gear on.
That's right. There you go.
That was the problem.
That's exactly right. By the way, my father-in-law hit me back. He just FaceTimed me.
Oh, we got an update on the Serbia?
He sent me a bunch of emojis and said, oh, no, it's only training for us, laughing emoji. So, yeah.
They're down 83-58. U.S. is up 83-58.
So, I assume Joker is not playing anymore. I assume he's
And they got him out, I think.
Yeah.
I don't see him on there.
They're mailing it in now. That's what I thought they would do.
9 minutes to go, so this thing's over.
That's amazing. That's amazing that they put this kind of beat down on Serbia after being down after the first quarter. I mean, they are potent.
They figure it out after they always start slow. I don't understand why they just start so slow.
Yeah, but look, fishing is a real thing, and be careful out there. Call your parents. Make sure if anybody's ever checking for them, it's not real. It's a scam.
It's fake.
Ain't nobody checking for 60-something year olds.
Right.
All right. It just ain't happening unless you're, you know, Drake's dad, I guess. Other than that, it ain't happening. We'll come back. Some NFL trade rumors that we'll get into, including a number one wide receiver. Jason Smith is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis Summer Hoops on 92.9 FM, ESPN is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Get closer to the action with 92.9 FM, ESPN on the free Odyssey app.
But if you can't catch it live, you know, when you're going running or doing something else, you can listen to Jason John on the app.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your gold pass at visitkingsisland.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back-to-school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yeah, the Power Four in the NCAA is pointing to the rest of the country and saying they not like us. Because according to Dennis Dodd of CBSSports.com, late last month, Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, presented to the NCAA Council a structure for a separate governing body.
Oh, boy.
Involving the Power Four conferences. A source with knowledge of the meeting told CBS Sports. So, yeah, they not like us. They not like us. They not like us. And that hurts to hear when we're in Memphis, right? But it's true that they not like them.
So schools like San Diego State, Boise, Memphis, South Florida, y'all ass on your ass.
If you ain't in the Big 12, if you ain't in the ACC, if you ain't in the Big 10, and
this is where we're going with this. There is going to be a have and a legitimate have not.
So I'll go on. Sources indicated that there was acrimony and concern among smaller conferences when it became evident that the structure would favor the Power Four.
Yeah.
A person with knowledge of the latest NCAA Council meeting told CBS Sports this was one of the more compelling presentations just in terms of the reality of where we are in college sports. Source said after viewing Baker's presentation that it would create essentially two different Division Ones. We don't know the details, but I think it is absolutely true that it is two different worlds, and we can pretend by proximity, right? But it is what it is. Now I don't know. I don't know exactly. Again, you know what this would mean for Memphis. I don't know if it would mean anything. But the way that the CBS Sports sort of described it is you don't want a Division III president voting on roster caps, which is fair.
Right.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
I mean, I don't want...
No.
You know...
It's fair.
I don't want somebody that doesn't have to go endure the same things that I have to endure voting on my...
It's not the same.
...regulations.
Right.
Division III doesn't have to worry about what I have to worry about. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have to worry about filling out stadiums. They don't have to worry about paying coaches. They don't have to worry about none of that. You know? And so I definitely believe that the council should, you know, there should be separate ones, right?
Yeah.
There should be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that, you know, that Memphis and teams like Memphis should not be allowed to play in the college football playoff or the college football or the NCAA tournament. But look, the Power Four does, in fact, play by different rules.
That's a fact.
It's just different.
Yeah.
It's different. Now, I think the gap is when you start getting past the top teams and you get back maybe to the bottom of these conferences, mm-hmm. the gap between them and Memphis and teams like Memphis is not that wide.
Oh, I agree with
right?
that.
It's not that wide.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the difference between Georgia and Memphis and Florida and Memphis and Tennessee and Memphis, it's just the reality.
The top
right?
of those conferences.
I mean, you know, they're the top dogs.
Yep.
They're the top dogs.
But how many of those are there? And it's like the ACC, you know, in the ACC
20.
there's four good. There's,
yeah.
you know, there's...
Agree.
maybe 8 to 10 in the SEC, and there's probably 8 to 10 in if you look at the Big Ten.
Yeah, listen.
There's 20 to 25 that are elite, and then there's you're in the big boys, and then there's this second tier of Mississippi States are in with the Memphises, or in with these people that are looking in and some looking out.
And look, this has to happen because these leagues have threatened and will again threaten to break away and host their own playoff. And that would be the death of the NCAA. It'd be over. It would be over.
I do think that they do risk. Now, it's levels because they're going to make a lot of money doing it. But, like, it does suck for the average Memphis football fan. For not just Memphis football fan, but fans who enjoy going to see, you know, an SEC game occasionally at Liberty Bowl, at the you know, or thing like me. Like, I enjoy Battle of the Little Guy a little bit.
Yeah, but they don't.
It's because of the money.
And they have, and that's why, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC demanded 58% of the revenue in the new college football playoff media rights deal. And guess what? Do you like, even if you're the ACC, you're like, well, whoa! But what choice do you have?
Got no choice. Actually, it's good for the ACC because in some respects.
Forget the Power Four. The Big Ten, the SEC could decide tomorrow, we don't need any of y'all. We don't need Florida State. That came out this week.
Well, I think we've seen that. Yeah, that's done.
So they don't want to deal with Florida State.
Y'all aren't exactly exciting to us.
They don't care about Clemson.
Right.
They could just say tomorrow, and they have the brands to do it. They have USC. They have Ohio State.
Yep.
They have Michigan. Right? They have all the they have Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, everybody.
Yeah.
They could say tomorrow, man, F this. We're going to go get 100% of the new revenue that we'll create and bring in. And guess what?
Right.
People are going to watch because we have the most talent. We have the most compelling coaches. We have the most tradition. And we're not going to sit here and sit at the same table as, you know, even a Virginia Tech. You know, I mean, we're just not going to do it.
If they do this, I still think the SEC and the Big Ten are going to get greedy because they're not going to want to split their money with Pitt. They don't want to split their money with
Virginia Tech. I think it is
Virginia
easier.
Tech.
It is less bloody if you keep it together, right?
Yeah.
It is less messy. But, and so I think the first priority is if everything is where they want it to be, if they can get more representatives into the, you know, governing body or their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can keep 58 to 65% of the college football revenue sharing, then I think they're content, you know, to keep it as is. But, you know, I mean, if you're a place like Memphis, you have no say in this at all.
Right.
Like, you're just happy to even be invited in the sense that you are invited.
Right.
You're not really invited. They're just leaving a spot for someone like you if you happen to earn it. So you can't say anything. You're just like, whew, we'll take our little 2% or whatever it is, you know, whatever that.
Oh, you're saying we have a chance at this one slot. Yeah, we'll take it being part of the 12.
We'll take the unit, you know.
Yeah.
So
you will, and happily. It's kind of an S sandwich, but you'll take it.
Yeah, and so, listen, I don't know what this means for the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the college football playoff is different. That's not the NCAA, right? That's not an NCAA organized event. That's the college football playoff.
Okay.
That's Bill Hancock.
Right.
Whereas the NCAA tournament is the NCAA. So the NCAA tournament is a totally different. I don't think people realize that. Like, the college football playoff,
we don't think about it that way, but
the NCAA, it's not an NCAA event.
Right.
It's a college football playoff. They have their own set of invitation structures and stipulation and things like that. It's not an NCAA affiliated event. It's college football playoff. NCAA tournament, different.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why you could see a breakaway happening.
It was 1978. I was just reading about this because I was a little kid when they did the 1A, you know, Division 1 AA.
That was the last time that it had you know,
that's
separated.
The last time an explosive event happened when so, for example, the SEMOs of the world split off, Illinois States of the world, I guess Murray and some of these Ohio Valley type teams, those are now 1AA teams.
Yes.
So that's 78.
Do you actually think that most people knew that the college football playoff was not an NCAA event?
I think it's probably split 50-50. People listening now are, some of them were, they were not aware of that. Because most people think of the college football play. It's like when you hear NCAA, the word NCAA, the letters NCAA are sort of ubiquitous with college, and they shouldn't be anymore, right? Because the NCAA could go away now.
Yes.
And that's what I think this is leading to, right? They're going to they're going to implode.
They're just trying to keep it together.
Yeah, I mean, you got guys making millions of bucks, these executives there in Indianapolis, and yep. It's like they're just holding on because they're like, bro, we got to hold on here.
Yes.
We got that big tournament we do. Let's keep pushing that and try to get all these little guys in that basketball tournament.
Yeah, so the NCAA does not organize or award an official that's championship for FBS football. They just recognize the winner of the college football playoff.
I mean,
how about that?
That's ridiculous. And that's where we're going with this.
That's the world we live in.
I do think, though, the one thing I was reading about James Phillips, who's the commissioner of the ACC, and he's had a hard year because Florida State and Clemson have won it out. Now, it probably got a little easier when we had the story this week where the Big Ten is like, we really didn't want you anyway, and the SEC is kind of saying the same thing. I do think we're in an era now where the academics, they make it sound like it's a big deal. Like, that's what the ACC did when they added SMU, they added Stanford, and who was the other one they added? They added Washington. Washington's Big Ten, I should say.
Washington, you're talking about the ACC?
Yeah, the ACC.
They added Cal.
So they added Cal.
Yeah.
And they did it, and they disguised it as this big academic move, right? Like,
yes.
We're adding these three schools because they fit the academic profile of the ACC. And to that, I would say, is that's a bunch of horse crap.
Yeah, nobody believes
the idea. The idea that Memphis was being held out of the Big 12 because of their academics is, and in my opinion, I know we talked about it a lot on the radio, and it's very exciting that they're an R1 now, but that ain't what held Memphis out of the Big 12. I'm sorry.
No, it was a decision that was made strictly on market size.
Right.
It was a television decision, and
it was even lesser. So, and I know we've obsessed about the stadium rebuild, and that's a big deal, and that's something you have to do if you're going to be in one of these Power Fives and you're trying to achieve. But it's like, I don't even think that was it either. They can say it was. The reality is, it was market Cincinnati. You know, they wanted that profile, and it was a little higher profile in their opinion than us.
Yes.
Houston, same thing. Like nobody goes to Houston football games.
Yes. It was just about how many TVs and eyeballs will be on this.
Right.
That's what it was about. So, I mean, that's the reporting that I got back when I cared about it, when it was happening.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about it.
So
what is the likelihood that this Dodd thing is said? Do they have a timeline on this?
No, I mean, this is just talks for now, but I mean, it's just clearly this is where, you know, it's headed. That you know, there's going to be this sort of bifurcation, so to speak.
Right.
You know, and again, if Memphis was in a power league, we would be saying that we want that. Yeah, we want
great.
That.
You're sharing the dough.
You know, again, like we just operate from the only perspective that we've ever had in Memphis, which is just we've not been invited into that, and we feel like and Memphis should. I mean, Memphis probably belongs somewhere, right? They do.
You're right on the line.
Unfortunately, that's where you've existed for your whole, you know, existence.
Which is kind of sad because you can make it, like Mississippi State has been very, very lucky. Really, in some respects, Ole Miss too. Not as much as Mississippi State because you're right on the line there. You know, you're at Kentucky. You're less than Kentucky. I mean, Vanderbilt's probably in a better position because of their academics. You know, like everybody looks at you like, boy, you're pretty lucky you've been in this conference for so long.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Memphis just happens not to be.
That's right. It's just the way it went. And, you know, again, hopefully someday it will change.
This is why we go back 25 years. Like when I first moved here, that was really when the nut cutting happened. I know there's been multiple crossroads.
It was not getting into the Big East.
That move. Well, they got in that crappy version of the Big East late, and then that dissolved like a month later. That was the move before the Catholic schools split off and did their own thing. But like, you really needed those times. Who was the AD when I moved here? I'm trying to think of the
RC.
Name. So that was the time. You needed something to explode then. You really needed something to explode.
It was definitely the time.
And unfortunately, our football wasn't good.
That too. I mean, you had really gone all in on basketball because you felt like you could be good at basketball.
You could go, well, look at basketball, and then our football's pretty good.
Tommy West always told the story about hearing them putting down the new carpet in Cal's office right above his. And he was asking for like basic things, and like Cal was getting like new carpet, you know, like that's the story he tells. And you know, again, you would say those years in Memphis were amazing.
They were
to Elite Eights and a Final Four and a championship game. Like that's amazing stuff. Like I wish I was on the radio during those years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I really hate that I wasn't. I would have had so much fun.
Yep.
I would have had so much fun.
07, 08.
I mean, yeah. even 05, like getting the Elite Eight, that would have been fun. You know what I'm saying? Like beating Texas A&M, you know, with the free throws. Every single year wasn't the championship game, but it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, never really can say that I've had that time.
Well, when Jeff was talking about the voting yesterday for Tiger football moments, I do remember 20 years ago when I moved here, and I think it was D'Angelo's last year. We're talking about 04, 05, I think. And it was a big deal they were going in the New Orleans Bowl. Like, it was like a damn parade in our city for the New Orleans Bowl. And I'm like, I didn't quite grasp it because I was new to the city. But now I kind of get it. You know, it was just so down.
Yes, yes, it was. And, I mean, look, it's got to be at a high level, you know, to make, a real impact in terms of expansion. But who knows? Maybe they have a chance to do that over the next 5 years. I will say I was encouraged by Dan when he said he thought that the balance of a lower-seeded Power 5 team getting the chance to advance by playing a group of five is actually good for everybody.
Yeah, I heard that. I mean,
so I do like that. I do like that because you're looking for reasons to include a group of five team.
Yep.
And if the only incentive is to potentially be a pinata, good enough.
Yeah, good enough. You'd love to be the pinata.
Maybe some days you won't be.
Yeah.
Right. But that you at least present an easier chance to advance for the group of five for the non-group of five team.
Well, and the group of five teams, they're not. Let's face it, they're not scheduling in the regular season because they don't want to get beat up.
Yeah,
you know, they'd rather do that in conference.
So I was encouraged by that. I was encouraged to hear that Dan thinks that will actually sustain and last
to the point where speaking about this issue to the point where I've had nightmares about Florida State wanting to do what Missouri did last year to our football team, which is
right.
Hey, you know, we were thinking Memphis is pretty good. Maybe even we decide, you know, but they've got a home game, so that's going to help them going down there to Tallahassee.
Is Memphis getting a – I don't think Memphis is getting
– We're not getting a return game.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But you'll take it, you know. You'll take that game.
Yeah.
But you'd love to have a return game like you've talked about, like a two-for-one with Arkansas type
deal. Yeah, that's what you'd have to do, you know.
I mean, two-for-ones, you said it a couple years ago. Like, those are the games –
I would do it.
Yeah, go for it.
I would do what I have to do, you know what
I'm
saying?
But they don't even want to do that. Like, that's not – I mean, this is the new AD's task. You're going to be tasked with trying to go get two-for-ones with, you know, these power conferences.
Right, and they're also –
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.